and you're listening to the Talkline Network over WVIP 93.5 FM HD2, New Rochelle, New York. We are America's only Jewish radio program on regular broadcast radio on the internet and digital platforms. Enjoy.
Gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair? Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers, align saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles, including addiction. If you know someone that needs a referral for a therapist, psychiatrist, inpatient, outpatient program, please give them our number, 718-758-0400. We also still are offering our parent support groups by Zoom. So I will repeat the number. You may want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you sit next to in shul. Our number again. Remember, all calls are kept strictly confidential. Our number again, 718-758-0400. If you know anyone that wants to get a free naloxone kit, which is prevention for opioid overdose, call us. We can arrange it by Zoom and then mail you your free kit. Tonight, I am really very happy, always happy to have on with us good friends, colleagues, and I would like to welcome Lee Yaffe, who has been on our show many times. Hope to have her on for many more times, but on better subjects. Struggling now this week, being the week of Suicide Prevention Awareness Week, it's so important to speak about the topic that Lee is so passionate about. She is the director of the Long Short Road organization. So I'd like to welcome you on, Lee, again. How are you?
Hi, Ruchama. Thank you. I'm doing well, Baruch Hashem, and I'm really grateful to be here with you. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. And I would like, Lee, if you could tell my listeners, what is the Long Short Road, please?
Sure. So the Long Short Road is a nonprofit organization that I developed to answer the need of the call for suicide prevention and mental wellness resources within the Jewish community. The Long Short Road comes from the Alter Rebbe's Tanya. We found that the connection between, you know, Hasidic philosophy and mental health really spoke to people, which hence the name, The Long Short Road. But we offer mental health resources, services, and educational opportunities for communities, for everyone, for anyone who is curious about their mental health or how to support the mental health of a loved one.
And you want to explain why it's so important now to speak about it, especially today?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. And then there's a week within the month that gets like even more dedicated to it, which is the week we're in now. But I think considering the 2 years that we've had, 3 years of COVID, the use and access to social media that kids have today, just the way that people respond to or react to their mental health today needs a lot of guidance. So many people are struggling, and those people also feel that they don't have the guidance they have. So I think the conversation around mental health, at least in the Orthodox community, is moving away from, oh, this issue doesn't exist for us, and more, this issue exists for us, now what do we do? And that's, you know, so that's why it's important to talk about it now, because everyone's realizing how serious it is.
Right. And like you said, because of COVID, so many people suffer during COVID with their mental health struggles. And masks, we are now at 25th year. And I must say that the last 3 years, we have never had so many phone calls and on our helpline about people struggling with anxiety. Yeah. Anxiety is number one topic that both when I spoke with Rabbi Babat at Relief, he told that to me as well about their helpline, also inundated with calls about anxiety. Yeah. Now, lots of families during COVID were, you know, home together, small quarters, and it just got worse and worse for so many people. Sadly, in the Orthodox community, suicide is a huge issue.
Yeah.
Very, very, very sadly.
Yeah.
So are you able to share a little bit more about that?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, it's interesting, if you would do a Google search now, Ruhama, for statistics on suicide in the Jewish community, you don't even have to put the word Orthodox in there, just the word Jewish. There are so few research studies that are being done on how our communities are being impacted by this, which, I mean, I think it speaks to part of the stigma that we're working on changing. But, you know, what I can tell you is this, we as Jews are, and you know, as Yidden, we're really equipped with amazing tools and skills to be able to handle the challenges of life. That being said, the fact that we're Jewish or the fact that we believe in God does not exempt us from dealing with ordinary, challenging, difficult, traumatic human struggles. And so this is a huge, huge issue in our community. I think, you know, speaking to what you said about COVID, I really got started in suicide prevention about 8 months, 9 months officially before COVID began. I could have never anticipated how many phone calls we were going to get in the last 3 years. I just coming from within the Orthodox community. So, you know, it's here. It's happening.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Very, very much so.
But the thing I'll tell you though, is that I am seeing a lot of distress. You know, there is a lot of distress. There's also a lot of hope. I think, you know, I get all the phone calls. So I get the bad ones and I get the good ones sometimes too. And for every person who I speak to who is struggling with suicide themselves or who has a family member or friend or neighbor that's struggling, I'm hearing from so many people this feeling of hope of when we work together, we can really make a difference in impacting these individual lives. And it's really empowering. And I think that's what keeps me going in this, because this is a hard job, right? Like, it is not easy to be in support in suicide crisis on an hourly basis. But hearing how much people want to make a change in this and be able to support people who are suicidal, really gives me chizuk. And so I see that change happening, you know?
Absolutely. And we did many programs together to educate both parents, school staff, teenagers in school, and that we work with Lee. Yeah. And anyone interested in bringing a program to your community, to your school, to parents, to the staff of your schools, feel free to give us a call, 718 758-0400 so we can arrange a training with Lee. Lee, let's go to why it's so important to train teens and not just to train adults. Because some, you know, parents are like, no, I don't want you to speak right. to my teenagers. So let's discuss that, please.
Yeah. You know, I think I want to start by saying that I understand the concern that's coming from the side of the parents when because I am often met with that feedback when I educate teenagers that this is not something they need or we shouldn't be inundating them with this information. But here's the truth of the reality. Teens are dealing with this issue regardless. Most teenagers who are struggling with their mental health or are struggling with thoughts of suicide are not going to turn to adults. They're going to turn to their peers and their friends for support. So they're dealing with this issue anyway, whether we're talking to them or not about it. We're really doing them a disservice by not giving them the tools. You know, I equate it with, you know, giving a lifeguard the tools to give CPR. We know that giving CPR is scary. We know that, you know, jumping into a pool as a lifeguard and trying to pull out someone who's drowning is terrifying. But if you sign up for that role, then you should at least be aware of the skills you need. Teenagers, just by virtue of the way that they support each other in relationships, are more likely to turn towards each other. So we should be giving them the tools because they're going to be dealing with this anyway. That being said, when I educate teens, and I have educated many teens in many schools over the years, I always make it a point of, I always make it necessary that adults are trained along with them so that the teens don't feel that the entire responsibility of taking care of a suicidal friend falls in their lap, because that's not fair and that's not safe. So they should have the tools, but they should also recognize that they're not the only piece in the puzzle and that they need adults to help support them in keeping their friends safe.
Right. And Lee, I mean, you know, kids, teenagers, I'm saying, there are times that they need more than an adult.
Yes.
So I'd like you to explain to my listeners how you speak to the young adults to make them understand that they need, you know, professional intervention.
Yeah. So when I approach a conversation with a teen or even with an adult where I'm going to be making a recommendation that they need more help than just, you know, talking to a friend or a peer, they need to see a therapist or they need to go to the hospital in the emergency cases, I first of all always try to approach it from a place of support and empathy, not, you know, that I'm doing this to you because you're a bad person or you're doing something wrong or because I don't think you're safe, but that the way I like to frame it is, you know, you're giving me signs and you're showing and telling me that you are in enough distress where I'm, you know, I'm concerned to think that this is the time where we should involve a third party or additional support. But I always try to do that in a way where they feel like they're included in the conversation and I'm not doing it for them. Even in the events, and I'll give you an example where I've had to call Hatzalah or 911, you're not necessarily asking someone who's at that level of psychiatric crisis if they want 911 to be called or not. You're doing it without their consent for the sake of their safety. And even so, in the times where I have done that, it's not like a threat, like, oh, I'm going to call Hatzalah on you now because you're not safe. It's I look them in the eye if I'm with them in person, or I'm very present with them if I'm on the phone with them, and I tell them, I am really concerned for your safety. And I think the next best step we can take is to get a mental health professional or a medical professional involved. Here's what I think we can do. This is what's going to happen now. Giving them the information so that they feel, so to speak, in control of what's happening to them and not that the control is being taken away from them. There are going to be times where you have to get people involved for the sake of their safety. The more empathetic and open you can be with them about your intentions with calm, direct, honest language, the better off you will be in getting them to, you know, comply with whatever the plan is.
So, You want to explain how similar or different your talks are for parents and young adults?
Sure. So when I speak to parents, the focus and the frame really is focused on what their role is as an adult, not as a professional, right? Like, as an adult, here is the role you can play in understanding someone who's suicidal and in supporting them. And we really put it so that, like, the puzzle pieces of the youth one and the adult workshop go hand in hand. So what the teens learn in their workshop, which is how do I assess if my friend is struggling, and how do I work with them on getting them, you know, to tell a trusted adult. And then with the adult piece, it's, now that they've come to you, or if you notice this, or if they do come to you, how do you know what kind of professional help to get involved, and who can be your best form of support? The difference really, I think, mainly with the teenager one, is that I like to, for the teens especially, put a special emphasis in the beginning of the workshop on helping them understand their bodies, their minds, and all of the changes that they're going through. Teens really like context. When you give them context for why so many people are suffering, so many of their friends, so many individuals are in crisis, it empowers them to take a different role in supporting their friends. So that's really the difference.
And Lee, I know we've done so many programs together, and after the programs, people come up to you. Do you want to share what they say?
Sure.
I mean, they do, you know, come up to you reluctantly some, but yeah, you get a lot of feedback after.
Yeah.
So share with my listeners, because most people think that they're going to go to a training and they would never, you know, ask a question about their own loved one, their child, spouse, even themselves. So please share.
You know, what I, as a participant, like when I've participated in workshops on mental health or on suicide, I want to walk away feeling like I was being spoken to directly, even if the issue at hand doesn't particularly relate to what I'm going through. But I want to feel like, as an adult, as a human, I've been heard. My pain has been heard. And, you know, one of the things that we really try to focus on in every single workshop, if we work with teens, if it's adults, if it's firefighters, if it's mental health professionals, is really helping them feel safe to explore or better understand the things that they are going through, even if it's not related to suicide, which sometimes it's not. But I can't tell you, and, like, you know, I'm thinking particularly, Ruchama, of one workshop that we did together in Crown Heights, where I had a person approach me and start the conversation by telling me that she was very concerned about someone else in her life, and then used it as an opportunity to also talk about struggles that she was noticing in her own family. And I just, you know, want to say, I recognize how much vulnerability and courage it takes for every single person who comes up to ask me a question after a workshop. It's a big, you need guts to approach that sometimes, because it can be really hard. But I also have seen so much value in every single one of those conversations, because inevitably, if they feel the need to reach out, there's a reason, right? And if they do reach out and they do ask for help, then whatever I can do to support them, that's, you know, with Hashem's help, that's what I try to do. So
absolutely. And we get calls after your trainings of families requesting professionals on the topic of suicide prevention. So that is our goal, both you and I together.
Yes.
Our goal is to help reach the families that are struggling and get them to the right professionals to help them. Nobody should be struggling alone. Nobody.
Yeah.
Today, there's really so much less stigma around mental health in general.
Yeah.
Since COVID, you can get a therapist on Zoom, on the phone. You can get a psychiatrist on Zoom, on the phone. You don't have to leave your home even. People are available, professionals are available. There are trainings, whether it's eating disorders, whether it's psychiatric issues, whether it's abuse, whatever the topic, there are professionals available to help anyone that needs the help. You just need the courage and the energy. For many, it's energy to actually pick up the phone and dial our number to get to the right professionals. We do work with insurance as well. So if you have insurance, you don't need out of pocket. 718-758-0400. So back to the long, short road, Lee. Can you, for those that may have come in a little bit late, I'd like you again to explain what is the long, short road?
So the Long Short Road is a organization that is focused on promoting and promoting mental wellness through suicide prevention education. And we take the name, the Long Short Road, from the Alter Rebbe's Tanya, in talking about the different, the several different approaches that a person can take towards, you know, the Alter Rebbe talks about, you know, tshuva and getting closer to Hashem, but we take it to mean, you know, the different steps and approach in the long, short road of getting support and mental health care. Cause it's not a short road, but with the right steps, it can feel short.
Lee, what are you doing that you want to do actually in reference to making a change about the stigma around suicide and mental illness in general?
I think for me personally, I've become very vocal and more comfortable to talk about these issues in a way that I don't think I was even 3 years ago when I got started, because I knew that there was so much stigma and discomfort around this. But I think, and this is something that everyone can do, and you don't have to be a professional and you don't have to have all the right answers either. It's really about normalizing the conversation around this, because when you normalize the conversation around mental illness and suicide, people are much more likely to feel open to sharing their own experiences. And when we do that, we show others who are struggling that they're not alone in this. You know, so that's a, you know, it's a slow but sure way of reaching a lot of people.
And what is one thing you actually wish people understood about suicide?
Suicide is a state of mind. It's not who the person is. It's not their entire personality or their anything. It's a state of mind, and it's a reaction. It's a symptom, a reaction to difficulties, trauma, stress. And while suicide can be pervasive and all encompassing, it is also preventable. And even people who are struggling in severe ways can get help in small ways that make a big difference. You know, I want people to understand that yes, suicide is an epidemic in its own right, but it's an epidemic that together we can really change the way that people are reacting to this, and we can bring the numbers down.
Right. And you know, when people hear the word epidemic, I'm sure many are very surprised to hear it. But Lee and I really know it is an epidemic, not only in the world at large, but really in the Orthodox community. You may not hear about somebody who took their life, but we hear about it too many times.
Yes.
I mean, weekly, you can hear about families losing their loved ones.
Yeah.
So this is really an epidemic, because losing one person to suicide is losing the world, generations. So we must make this comfortable. Lee, let's just give a little bit of the language that somebody could use around the table with friends out to dinner, friends they get together on Shabbos, not with children underage, but with young adults. What would you want them to say to bring it out? You know, let's deal with stigma-free concept. It's so important because by talking about it and letting people know about the long, short road there and know about their trainings, then they're helping bring the stigma down.
Right.
And we are trying so hard together to do that.
Yeah.
So what is the message you want to give out to the listeners and the wording that people can say safely to their friends? Because if they speak five couples together,
yeah,
then those five couples will tell five more couples.
Yep. And that's the revolution. You know, I think that in terms of language that I recommend that people use, it's actually a lack of language. And I'll tell you what I mean. I think that when people disclose or talk about mental health, especially their own mental health journeys, sometimes the fear is if they're going to open up and start sharing that people are going to like immediately jump in with all of their own ideas and support, and which is great. But I think, you know, if you're in a group of people and either you're talking about mental health or you're noticing that someone is bringing up mental health, or you want to bring up mental health to your friends and discuss it, I think the best thing you can do is not be afraid to talk about it, right? To say, this is an issue that's happening in our community. How are we going to change it? The more direct you can be about the topics of mental illness and suicide, the better off you are. I think that a lot of people have fear and they kind of dance around the issue because they don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. And again, we have to get comfortable with the uncomfortable, as you said, Ruhama. So that, you know, that is that. And one message I just want to share with everyone is, you know, I recognize how hard the last 3 years have been. I'm a human being. I'm not exempt from the challenges of the last 3 years. We are also all in this together. And there are resources and there are tools and there are ways of accessing support, as you said, Ruhama, that wasn't even realistic 3 years ago. And I'm, you know, as a director of a nonprofit, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be able to work with communities and support them in bringing this to, you know, to the individuals and their families in the community. And I'm grateful to MASC and to you, Ruhama, for everything that you're doing to fill the need, the very necessary need in our community. And it just goes to show the power of working together in different ways to bring this material, you know, to the people who need it.
I want to thank you again, Lee, for the collaboration and always doing the programs with MASC, helping those for prevention of suicide. And I hope to have you on again soon.
Me too. Thank you, Ruhama. It's such a beautiful skill to be able to be doing this work and to be doing this work with MASC. And I'm grateful to you and the team. And I hope that the next time we come on together, we can, you know, talk about a more resilient topic.
Sounds good. Thank you. And I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually still, hug tight. Tonight's show is in memory of Rivka Bas Yisroel. Please consider to go online to maskparents.org and make a donation so that we could continue with all the MASC programs. We are in our 25th year, over 118,000 families. Please donate online at maskparents.org. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ashwin Vasan, the city's doctor.
And I'm New York City Schools Chancellor David Banks. And your friends at school want to tell you something.
I need you at reading time.
We need you at basketball.
We need you at lunch.
We need you in science.
We need you in school with us.
We all want to see you in school.
And so do your friends.
Have your parents talk to your doctor about routine school vaccines.
For more information, go to nyc.gov/health and search student vaccines.
TalkLine Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.